As I've already mentioned, we are glad to have Beth Stevens Johnson. Okay, I have to tag that last name on there. For a lot of years, she was this Beth Stevens, right? But Beth is, she's not a stranger to the Pentecostal Holiness Movement and especially to our conference. She has spoke numerous times in camp meeting for us, different events. We and had her for youth camp. I believe you were there teen week, right? I think it was teen, maybe junior teen one day. And she just did a phenomenal job in youth camp. I mean, this evangelist is versatile, to say the least. And it's good to have her and her personal manager, Kurt. And they have a product desk out in the foyer, and I'm sure they will tell you about that more as we go through today. And don't forget about service tonight and then again tomorrow night. Tonight at 6, tomorrow night at 7. So would you give honor, if you would, to Beth? And Kurt, if you would stand too and wave at everybody. Sister Beth and Brother Kurt, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be here with you today. And we are so grateful for the opportunity to come and to be here in Bluefield. Is that right? Yeah, okay, good. Close enough, he said. Well, that's good. It's wonderful to get to come. And Kurt and I were just thinking yesterday, we were driving over yesterday, and we came... they said it was a shorter route, but would take a longer time. I think it was 460 that we ended up driving across on. And just, unbelievably beautiful. I'm telling you, I said, wow. I said, this is gorgeous. And just from where we were staying, last night and driving here this morning, it's just, breathtaking. I know I was telling Mr. Frankie, I said, I guess y'all get used to it and it's no big deal. You see it so often, but for us, it's just beautiful. And to see the, really the handiwork of the Lord. That's what it is. Just the handiwork of the Lord. And so we've already enjoyed ourselves and, we just are praying and believing God for this revival. We are so thankful that you, Pastor and Miss Taylor, you let us come and be a part. And listen, I don't know how versatile I am, but I am grateful for the opportunity to do those camps and those women's conferences. It's just, it's the Lord. Now, I don't know if those kids thought I was too versatile or not, but I'm grateful that I had the chance and the opportunity. It was a blessing. Camp meetings, all of those things, to get to be a part of those things is really an honor from the from you all and the Lord. And so we count it a real blessing in our lives for that. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where I'd like for us to look today. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning. I just kind of want to follow the Lord. Just He kind of put some thoughts on my heart today. And I just want to give you what I feel like the Lord would have us to hear this morning. I'll encourage you. I don't know. I don't think you normally have service on Sunday night, right? So come back tonight. I know sometimes when a church doesn't normally have Sunday night services, you're already in the mode. It's hard to get back. But I encourage you, come back out tonight. Let's see what God's got for us. And then tomorrow night, we're going to have a blast. I just have no doubt that the Lord has something wonderful in store. I want to encourage you to go by the product table. We just set something out there. It's on the left-hand side. When you're going out, Kurt will be out there and he'll help you. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know what to get. Well, don't ask me, because I'm not good at it either. I like everything that's out there, not because I preached it, just because the Lord gave it to me. And so it's always encouraging, you know. But go out there. He can help you with it, and he can kind of tell you what we've had. We've been traveling a lot lately, so it's kind of limited right now. The selections are, but there's some wonderful, just a word of the Lord that's there. I know Pastor had Kurt stand up, but I'm going to have him testify. He's looking at me like, are you serious? You should have warned me. But the Bible says instant, in season and out, right? But let me tell you right quick while he's coming. It got me tickled, Pastor. He wasn't in here when you did it. He said it's good to have Kurt and Beth Stevens with us. Kurt said, Kurt, I'm now a Johnson. But nobody can remember that hardly. But we've only been married a little over 4 years. So miracle of miracles. I mean, that's what my whole family thought. They thought I'd never get married. So finally it happened for me. But Kurt, he's not one that... he's fine with people still calling me Beth Stevens. He said, but just so they don't call me Kurt Stevens. And I couldn't help but laugh. I was sorry, but Pastor did it. I didn't. But he corrected it. He turned it around. He corrected it. So I just want Kurt to testify. The Lord uses him. I'll just say it right quick. The Lord uses him in a wonderful men's ministry. We're very thankful for that. He uses him in ministry, but his main heart is for men's ministry, and he has a ministry every Thursday night. He doesn't get to be there now like he used to since we're traveling, but it's a continual service every Thursday night in the middle of Patterson, Georgia. If you don't know where that's at, I would say that 99.9% of the rest of the United States also doesn't know where it's at. It's just a tiny little spot in South Georgia in the middle of nowhere. But wow, what a ministry is there for the men of that area. And it's just exciting to see what the Lord has done and is doing and is going to do. So I just want Kurt to testify real quick so you can kind of hear from him and you won't have to wonder who that is on the front row and what's the deal there. So I thought I'd just let him share his heart with you.
I will. Good to be with you all this morning. I will say this real quick. The last night, as a precautionary because of the time change, I called the front desk and told them to give us a wake-up call. Nobody does that anymore because we got our phones now. But with the time change, she just didn't want to make double sure. So I called and I said, give us a wake-up call, please. And they said, okay, Mr. Stevens, I've got you down. So so even the hotel has done it. So, but no, we're grateful and just to emphasize, just looking across and always excited to see, the people. It's, you know, when the Lord, brought me back, I grew up in a parsonage in a pastor's home. I grew up with some wonderful parents, godly parents who had sacrificed much for the ministry and the calling on their life. But, you know, as I got into college, I'll have to be honest, I just got away from the church, and for the next 17 years or so, I never darkened the door of the church. My dad passed away as a pastor without ever seeing me come back to the Lord. So when I did come back to the Lord, the Lord began to deal with my heart, and I came back radically. And even though my father never got to see me saved, those prayers went on. I would wake up early in the morning times and find my daddy at my foot of my bed praying over me. And I can assure you that if you'll do that for your children, they won't leave this earth without God chasing them down and giving them an opportunity. And I'm grateful for that, for the impact that my father made in my life. And it's given me a burden for men. And I will tell you, as much as I'm happy to see the women and it just blesses my heart to see all the faces of the men in these last days. And I believe Jesus is coming back very, very soon. God is calling men to step up and take their place in the home, to be the spiritual leaders of their home that God intended them to be, to watch over the spiritual lives of their wives and their children and their families. And it's been a burden of mine. And we started a Bible study some 12 years ago. And all we do is we eat the Word of God when we're together. We got guys from all denominations that come from all over, and some nights we'll run 20, some nights we'll run 60 of guys that just show up to study the Word of God, and to eat hot dogs and stuff. We eat man food and stuff. So we have a great time, but we do have a burden in our heart for these last days. We feel that we're in the last days, and we have been just absolutely amazed that God is moving and doing things. And not that we're amazed that He is, but at the season and the time that we're in. We're seeing people get healed. We're seeing people come back to the Lord, delivered from drugs. I mean, this is an amazing time to be alive and be a Christian and be a part of the kingdom. And I would just encourage you during this revival, reach out and just take and grab a hold to what God has for you during this time. Redeem the time, because I believe it's short. Amen? Amen. God bless y'all. Good to be with you. Amen. And if you pray and fast for years, this is kind of what you get. So.
Oh, Lord. Don't listen to him. I need better than to give him the microphone. Well, if you've got your Bibles, I think I've already told you 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we'd like to look. I am grateful Kurt was able to be with us today or during this time. Sometimes he is in a different direction than I'm in, so it's a blessing to be able to travel together like this. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to read this text, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And let's just believe and ask the Lord to have His way in this service this morning. I do encourage you tonight to come, but be praying. Let's believe God to move mightily. I'm believing the Lord for that. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 and 10, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." The Apostle Paul speaks there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just pray and ask the Lord to have His way in the remaining part of this service. Father, we just come to You right now in Jesus' name. And I thank You for these men and women, these young people that have come out today believing You, trusting You for a touch in their lives, for just ministering to their spirits, Lord. And I'm trusting that not one of us will leave the same way as we've walked in. Lord, I'm asking You just to have Your way in this service, not my will, not the pastor's will, none of us, Lord. We want to take responsibility for it. We don't know. We don't know what everyone needs, but You do. So we just say, Your will be done in this service. Help me to speak Your heart to Your people, Lord, today. Use me. Let my mouth be a trumpet for You. But Lord, I pray that there would be no strongholds. There would be no boundaries in the people's lives that are here. Lord, for every stronghold, every wall to come crumbling down, so this word would penetrate every heart and life. And Lord, I'm thankful in advance. I declare it. I'm thankful for what You have already done, but what You are going to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody shout out, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look straight to what the Apostle Paul was saying here. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And when we think about the word grace, we would have to say it is one of the most important words in the entire Bible, the word grace. Grace is really a word that interprets the meaning of the Bible all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation. I know that over the years, we have seen a lot of things happen with grace. We have seen this ultra grace message, and it saddens my heart really to see that, because you know what the word of the Lord says. It says it in the book of Romans. It says, well, because of this grace, do we have the right to keep on sinning? And the word comes back strong. Paul says, of course not. That's not what grace is about. We've been hearing that type of a grace message, it seems like, has been filling the airways of our TVs and books, and we've seen so much about it. And so I feel that it is necessary today to teach about grace, to talk about it, to preach about it, so we can really get a true understanding of what grace is and how grace affects our lives today, and really how grateful we have to be and must be, need to be, because of this amazing grace. When we think about the song that we sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, I can tell you that whether it's the sinner that you know well that would never darken the doors of a church, or whether it's someone that's been in church maybe all of our lives, when we hear that song sung, there's something that begins to turn on the inside of us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But the question is today, what is amazing grace, and why is it so amazing? In John chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So what is this amazing grace? I've written a few things down about grace. Grace, it's unmerited favor. It is undeserved love. Couldn't we all agree that we are in that position? Undeserved love. Grace, it is God's rich kindness. His generosity, His benevolence and love toward us in Christ Jesus. What is grace? Grace, it was something that was poured out so lavishly on you and on me when God gave His only begotten Son, amen, to reconcile us to Himself. What is grace? I love this one. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. Grace. It is God acting in ways toward us that we do not deserve. It is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Grace. It is God paying a debt for us that you and I could never pay. Amen. Grace. It is the person living in Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that amazing grace today. Hallelujah. When we begin to think about that, that old song does come to mind. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Amen. I needed someone to wash my sins away. That is what grace is in our lives today. So when I think about grace being the person of Jesus Christ, I'm reminded that grace left glory. Hallelujah. And grace was laid in a manger. And grace one day opened the blinded eyes. And grace called the demons out of the afflicted. And grace raised the dead. That's who grace is today. Grace one day was crucified, but then grace forgave them. Grace was buried in a borrowed tomb. Grace rose then on the third day, triumphing over death, hell, and the grave. And then grace ascended to the right hand of the Father. But blessed be the Lord, grace is coming again in the clouds of glory. And by the grace and the grace of God alone, we are what we are. Hallelujah. Only because of the Lord today. Woo! Hallelujah! That is grace. That's why we can call grace amazing grace. And that is why we can say, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like you and me. Amen. It doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't matter if you look around and you can say, well, here I am. I've achieved this. I've achieved that. Look how good I've done. No, I can tell you it is all because of grace. Hallelujah. And the great thing about grace, I'll talk more about that in a moment, but the great thing about grace is really where we live. We live under an umbrella of grace. The whole world does. An umbrella of grace. But well, and the reason I can say that is because the Bible does say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So He so loved the world, not just the United States of America, not just West Virginia or Georgia, but for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so we can say that this grace is universal. But unfortunately, and it's very sad to say today, there are many people who will never acknowledge God and that it is in God that we live and we move and we have our being. There are people that will take the grace of God for granted, and they will never really believe in that and trust in the grace of God, and they believe that everything that happens to them is just a luck. It's just coincidence. It's just one of those things. But I'm telling you today, I don't know, maybe you won't mind if I say this is a little strong, but I'm just going to tell you, you need to take that word luck out of your vocabulary. It has nothing to do with luck. It's not good luck. It's not, you know, sometimes we say that just because it's just habit for us. Oh, good luck to you. I hope things go good. I want you to know nothing, none of that has to do with luck. And the Lord has been working on my mouth as well, I believe, as maybe some of you in here. It is the blessings of the Lord. That is it. Nothing more and nothing less today. Hallelujah. It's not luck. I want to say that again. It's the grace of God. I heard a story one time, and I'll share it with you. It's kind of funny about luck. But there was a man, one time, there was a man, and his name was Frank. So, sorry, Mr. Frank. I think there's a Frank, right? Did I get that right earlier? But there was a man by the name of Frank, and he thought that 5 was his lucky number. He was born on May 5th. He had 5 children, and he lived at 555 East 55th Street. He said, wow, this is my number. And on his 55th birthday, he went to the horse track. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bet on a horse on my 55th birthday. 5's my lucky number. And he said, I just know without a doubt I'm going to win this thing. And he was so excited. He got to the horse track and he saw a horse named Numero Cinco. He said, wow, my lucky day. He was so excited about that. 5 minutes before the race started, he went to the 5th ticket window. He put $5,000 down on this Numero Cinco. And you can imagine, I know you've already figured it out, but Numero Cinco came in 5th. So, that's luck for you. So for any of you that are holding on to luck, I'm just going to tell you, let it go. It's the blessings of the Lord. And there is one man that understood the grace of God probably better than any human being could have ever understood that. And again, his name is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Let me read our text one more time. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10. Listen to it closely. We will stay there for most of this morning's sermon. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Think about what he does. He gives his credentials here in the letter to the Corinthians. And he said, I am the least of the apostles. I really have no business even being an apostle because I persecuted the Christians. I had no business even being able to have the title apostle. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And today I can tell you that he treasured the grace of God not because he was such a bad man. Now, I know a lot of times what we read about Paul, we see him as such a horrible man before he had when he came to know the Lord there that day on his way actually to kill or to be in charge of killing more Christians. On that day, what an amazing thing happened to him. But a lot of times we hear about how horrible Paul was, but I want you to know something about Paul. He was not a horrible man, not in the eyes of this world. Matter of fact, you find that they considered him to be a good man. They considered him to be a religious man. He was a man that was very learned in the Old Testament, but he had lived his life by self-righteousness and by legalism. But now we see that he has learned that Christ had died for him and that he was all about now the grace of God. It's the only way that he could be who he was. In other words, Paul kind of says it like this. He says, it's all about grace. I have what I have by the grace of God. I've been spared what I've been spared by the grace of God. And so I remember hearing a story about a wonderful man. Maybe you've heard of him, a great preacher. His name is George Whitefield. And George Whitefield, he stood in a crowd one day as a man was being led to be publicly executed. And he looked at this condemned criminal who was about to be hung before his very eyes. And he uttered some words that are now very famous, but I believe it's very pertinent for this message. He uttered these words. He said, there, but for the grace of God, go I. In other words, he says, that could be me. And a true man or woman of God, we will not look with judgmental eyes, and we will not look with condemning eyes, but really we will look with eyes of compassion and eyes of love like Jesus did. And we will realize that there, except for the grace of God, that could be me. There, but for the grace of God, I could be the one in prison today. There, but for the grace of God, I could be the one strung out on drugs today. There, but for the grace of God, I could be the one who's working the street corner downtown. There, but for the grace of God. And Paul says it like this. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's powerful today when we begin to understand that he could have said, I am what I am because of my education, because Paul was a very educated man. But he didn't say that. He could have said, I am what I am because of my background, because his background was remarkable. Look it up. Read about him. But he didn't say that. He could have said, I am what I am because of my gifts and my talents. Look at me. But he did not do that. Again, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He could have looked around and bragged on himself. And he could have said, and I spoke about it a moment ago, he could have said, I'm a self-made man. But he did not do that. He said, whatever is to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. And when you begin to think about Paul, let me just give you a little bit of background for a moment, because it's very interesting. If you begin to look at his letters that he wrote, in his earliest letters, he wrote it to the Thessalonians. Read it for yourself, the Galatians. It's really interesting. In those letters, he called himself, he said, I am Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus. Now, that's his first letters. Later on, as he drew closer to Christ and came to know Christ more, listen to what he said. He said, I am Paul. I am the least of the apostles. But then you find in the last letter that he wrote, he called himself, I am Paul. I am the chief of sinners. Amen. You say, why is that? I can tell you, because the closer you get to Christ, the more you realize that you are nothing and Christ is everything. The more intimately you come to know the Lord, you realize that everything you are is because of the grace of God. Can't you just stop for a moment and look back over your life and begin to trace the fingerprint of God on your life? How you got to where you are? How it is that your kids are where they are? Can you not see the hand of God moving in your life? You say, what is that all about? I can tell you, it's about the fact that he's the potter and we're the clay. Amen. It's about the fact that the Lord is so great, he can take a bunch of nothing, amen, and create something wonderful. But it's not me. It's not because I'm so educated or so bright or so gifted. It's because of the Lord. So I challenge you today, instead of looking in the mirror and going, look at what I've done, I challenge you to look in the mirror and say, look what God has done. Everything I've accomplished is because of him. Every dollar I've ever made, it's because of him. Every success I've ever had in my life, it's because of God. Amen. You say, well, I'm just smart like that. But it's the Lord that gave you that mind. Amen. You say, I'm just good with business. But it's the Lord who did that in your life. By the grace of God, we are what we are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God. Thank the Lord today. But there's something that is very interesting about that scripture, and I want to show it to you today. It's kind of mind-boggling, actually. Let me read it to you again. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 10, it said, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. In the New International Version, it says it was not without effect. But what that does when you read that, it implies there that the grace of God could come to a person and have no effect on his or her life. I know the first the first thing we do is say, absolutely wrong. There is no way that the grace of God could come to us and not have an effect on our lives. But I want to tell you, that's exactly the truth. It can have no effect on our lives. You say, the grace of God? Is it possible? Absolutely. What do you mean? Well, let me show you today. Grace has come into this world, but it is not having an effect in many people's lives. You may ask the question, why not? Well, that's exactly what I want to share with you for a few moments. Why is the grace of God having no effect in the lives of people today? Well, first thing I want you to know is this. A person can reject the grace of God. Amen. A person can reject the grace of God. Let me give you the scripture, John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. How could that happen? I want to give you one more story today. It's about a man. Maybe you've heard this story before. I've heard it over time. Maybe school, I don't remember. Maybe preaching. But it was in 1830, there was a man by the name of George Wilson. And this is kind of a shocking story, but listen to it for a moment, and it may help you understand the grace having no effect on someone's life. George Wilson shot and killed a man. He was tried, and he was sentenced to be hung. On the way to the execution, though, he received a pardon from President Andrew Jackson. What a wow moment. He received a pardon from the president, but something unbelievable happened. And George Wilson made a decision to reject the presidential pardon. It was so shocking to everybody. No one knew what to do. And so because of that, it had to go before the Supreme Court. That nothing like this had ever happened. And so they tried to work their minds. What do you do with someone who has rejected a presidential pardon? So the Supreme Court made a decision, and the Chief Justice gave the opinion of the court. He said, a pardon is only a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the person being pardoned. A pardon that is rejected is no pardon at all. George Wilson must die. And George Wilson did die. He was executed. But it was not because there was not grace and mercy. It was not because that he had not received a pardon. But the problem was, it was because he did not receive that pardon there that day. We are living in a time when the grace of God is abounding on us. But we still see many that are not receiving the grace of God. And the grace of God is having no effect on them because they have rejected it. You say, what are you talking about? Unfortunately, even in a church just like we're in today, you can make a decision to say no to God. I can tell you today, there are people that are riding up and down this road out in front of the church. They know who God is. They know who Jesus is. They know He died on the cross for them. But they have to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior by faith. Amen. And they have refused to do that. So even if you're a good person, that's not enough. There has been grace extended to you, but you must receive that grace by faith today. Amen. It doesn't matter how close you get to the church. It doesn't matter how many times you sit on a pew. It doesn't even matter if you're involved in ministry in the church. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, there's been those people that have been involved in the church, but still have rejected the grace of God, not fully surrendering themselves to the Lord. I kind of went all over my second point, but I want to say it together. The reason that the grace of God has no effect in people's lives, number one is they can reject it, but number two is what I've already said, but they have not received that grace by faith. You can reject the grace of God. You remember what happened when Jesus went into the country, his hometown, and it said his own didn't even receive him, and he was not able to do many mighty works there. They rejected him. But then we've got the issue of people not receiving the grace of God by faith. What does that mean? Let me give you the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Amen. I want to say that again. It is the gift of God. Faith is the only way that you can receive the grace of God. Now I'm going to blend some more together since I've blended one and two together. Let me go ahead and blend the third one here. What happens a lot of times, and one of the reasons that people do not receive the grace of God, is because they try to do it through legalism and through self-righteousness. I can tell you today, there's no amount of good living that will bring the grace of God into your life. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. I thank the Lord that when you are saved and the Lord changes your life and cleanses you, you will be a different creature and you will be different. But I can promise you, there's no amount of doing good that will allow you to receive this grace. It must be done by faith. And one of the problems that's happening in churches today is we start thinking that the grace has come because of how good we are. And that is what leads people to be judgmental and hurtful and hateful. That's why sometimes you see people in the church crossing their arms saying, "Can you believe?" Well, what happens is this. We forget that it's the grace of God in our lives. And we are what we are, not because of "look at me," but because of the grace of God. Because of the love of God today. I want to say it again. For God so loved the world that He gave its only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him, if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. I can tell you today, I thank God for people that feed the hungry, but that won't change you. I thank God for people who will clothe the naked, but that won't get the job done. I'm thankful for people who are kind one to the other, but that's not it. We must have faith in the Lord and in the grace that He has given to us and receive that into our lives. That is what changes us. That is what brings us to that place of salvation. Hallelujah. Faith. Woo! I want to read that again. It keeps coming into my spirit, so somebody must need to hear it again. Maybe it's just me, but Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, For by grace are you saved through faith. And here it is, and that not of yourselves. In other words, it didn't have anything to do with you. Amen. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Woo! It's kind of freeing in a way, isn't it? When you start realizing that it's the grace of God that's going to do it, you just have to reach out in faith and receive that. But let me show you something about this today. In America, in a lot of countries now, but especially in America, we have the grace of God poured out on us more than we could ever even begin to comprehend. All you have to do today is turn the TV on and you can hear the gospel being preached. Turn your iPad on. That's what I'm using here. Just put the iPad on. Go to Safari. Go to YouTube. Go to any of those things and you can hear the gospel being preached. Matter of fact, you can go to one of the apps and they will read the Bible to you for you. I mean, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? I can tell you that in this country, we have more Bibles. Probably if we counted how many Bibles are in this one church alone in all of our houses, listen, I probably have 1,000 just all by myself. Well, maybe not that many, but I have a lot all by myself. So you can imagine if we started counting up, look at how many Bibles we have at our disposal. We have some of the greatest preachers, some of the greatest ministries. But I can tell you, I don't understand it really. Well, I guess I do. But in America, here we are, we find ourselves really just wound up in secularism in America. We find ourselves with atheism just unbelievably, it's just growing at an unbelievable rate. We find ourselves with paganism and New Age religion. Why is that? It is because we are not receiving the grace of God by faith. You say, we need a revival. Yes, we do. We need a revival of faith. Amen. That's what we need. A revival of faith. A revival where people will believe again. Where people will look to heaven again. Lord, revive us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's time we look to heaven and say, it's God and it's God alone. That's who it is. It's God and it's God alone. I've already mentioned it, but I'll at least give you the third point. Another way that we resist grace is through legalism, through our arrogance of look who I am. But it's only by grace that we are saved. Then let me give you the last point today. This is very important. How are we rejecting or resisting the grace of the Lord? Well, another way that the grace is having no effect on people's lives, it's kind of something that a lot of times we would be easy to overlook, but it is an epidemic in our churches. And this is what it is, not just in our churches, but in our world. It's the last thing I want to mention. The reason that the grace of God has no effect in our lives is one of the greatest problems, and it's called shame. It's one of the saddest things that you'll ever see. People bound by chronic shame, not able to grasp the grace of God. It's like it can't sink in. It's like they just can't hardly believe it. I've been so bad. Had the opportunity recently, I won't go into all the details, but I had the opportunity recently to pray with a lady. It was under very difficult circumstances. Her son was on his deathbed, very unexpected. We were in the hospital. Evidently, I'm going to give you more detail than I thought. We were at the hospital, though, and he was a very good friend of my brother's, really close to our family, a young man, early 40s. Her husband had just recently passed away. Her mom had passed away some years ago. Her sister just recently passed away within this year. And now her son's on his deathbed. I walked into that waiting room in that hospital. I had no idea that Mike was not going to go home that night. We all thought he was just going to have fluids. He was dehydrated and he was just going home. And I won't ever forget sitting in that waiting room as we begin to realize this is a very dire situation. He'd been diagnosed with cancer, but he'd been doing fairly well. But he had started a new type of chemo and it had really taken a toll on his body. I was sitting in that waiting room. You could feel it was so tense all throughout the family. His wife, her mother. I mean, it was just, I wish I could kind of give you an idea of how the weightiness of that waiting room. And I was sitting there trying to put my mind around the fact that it looks like Mike could be dying. And all of a sudden, this lady comes in. And she had been crying so bad, I did not know that it was his mother. But she come over and she sit beside me. She said, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "No, I don't." And she said, "I'm Mike's mother." And I said, "Oh," I said, "well, and you know, of course, I'm so sorry all of this is happening. And we're praying." And she said, "I know who you are." And I said, "Well, you know, all right." And she said, I know that you're a preacher." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she said, she just looked at me and tears rolling down her face. And she said, "Do you think like Mike had just given his heart to the Lord a few weeks earlier?" She said, "Do you think like Mike that I could be saved?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know you could." And she said, "I want to do that." I said, "We'll do it right now." She said, "Well, walk with me." And you could tell she'd had a rough past. You could just see it. So we walked around the corner and she began to weep violently. And she said, I know you said I could, but you don't know what kind of mama I've been. I know you said I could, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how difficult my life has been. You don't know how many times and how many years I stayed in an abusive relationship with Mike's daddy, allowing him to be beat unmercifully. She said, I didn't know how to get out of it. But could the Lord ever forgive me? Could the Lord ever forgive me for what I've done? I said, oh yes, ma'am, He can. I said, I want you to know something. You look at that waiting room full of people and you think, well, they've never done anything like that. But I said, if we opened up our closets and you started seeing all of our lives and all of our messes, you'd begin to realize that it's not because we're good that we're saved. It's only because of the grace of God. It's only because of the love of God. I'm telling you, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior that day in that hospital. It was the most wonderful thing. But I will have to tell you that since that day, she's called me back and she said, are you sure that He would forgive me? I said, yes, ma'am. And we'd pray again. She said, you don't know how it haunts me at night. I said, I'm telling you, you have not been a horrible mother. You did some things wrong. You did some things bad. I said, but let me tell you how great God is. That it's the blood of Jesus that washes and cleanses you. And He never remembers your past. Not another moment. When you ask Him to forgive you, He cleanses you and lets you start all over and lets you begin again. You may be sitting in this place today and you may be saying, but you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how difficult I've caused people's lives to be. You don't know the things that I've indulged in my own life. I can tell you, it had been years and years and years since his mother had ever really been involved in those things. I mean, years and years, but it had haunted her all of these years. I know she's done some wonderful things for her family. I knew some of the things Mike had told us that she had done. But all she could remember was the guilt and the shame and the horrific problems that she caused in her own life and in her own family's life. Maybe you say, Beth, my family's not together anymore and it's my fault. Can He forgive that? Oh, yes, He can. You might say, Beth, you don't know how much torment I put my family through financially because of the things that I've done. Can He forgive that? Oh, yes, He can. Amen. You may look around and you may say, Beth, some of the reason that we've got the issues we have is because of the things that I've done. But can I just tell you today, standing in front of you, I'm the evangelist and I'm grateful the Lord lets me do it. But if I started pulling out everything and every old junk and all this old stuff that some people of my past might remember, you can say, how could you be the evangelist? Let me tell you today, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not because I've been a perfect woman. Not because I've never made a mistake. Not because I've never done anything wrong. It's the grace of God today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that amazing and marvelous and wonderful grace. Hallelujah. I went for years and years, and maybe if you want to help me to close with the instruments, but I went for years and years, grew up in a wonderful home, grew up in church, and I went for I don't know how many years convincing myself that I could be good enough to have it. That I could do everything just right and I could have it. I want you to know, it's the worst mistake you'll ever make in your life. You'll work yourself to the ground trying to be good enough. You will. You'll torment your mind thinking, did I mess up here? Should I have done it better here? Could I have acted like that there? I want to tell you today, I do believe without a shadow of a doubt that because of the grace of the Lord, we do not have the right to keep on sinning. No. But by the grace of God, it frees us up to totally and fully have faith in that grace to bring us to salvation. Amen. Thank you, Lord, today. There's some people that'll say, Beth, am I good enough to be saved? I think there's something that's very important. I highlighted it in my notes. I don't want to miss it. Someone said this one time, the worth of something is not determined by a person, but by what someone is willing to pay for it. I love that. The worth of something is not determined by a person, but by what someone is willing to pay for it. Say, what do you mean? If you were so worthless, but Jesus Christ had paid the ultimate price and gave His life for you, you're not worthless today. The fact is, you are worth more to God than absolutely anything in this universe. And Calvary is a statement of how valuable you are. Man or woman, young or old, whoever you are, brand new, or you've been in this church all your life, I want you to know it's by the grace of God that we are what we are. Let's stand up on our feet. Would you do that today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray the next time you sing Amazing Grace, you'll sing it differently. You'll be able to sing it with passion and with fire on the inside of you. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We're on our way to heaven today because of that marvelous grace. Would you bow your heads for just a moment and let's close our eyes. Now I want to ask you the most important question you'll be asked in your entire life. This is more important than that question that you hope will one day be popped to you. Will you marry me? This is more important than what you're going to do in college. This is more important than what age are you going to retire in. What are you going to do after you retire in? This is more important than will your Social Security hold out during retirement? Most important question you'll ever be asked in your life is this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you been saved by faith, by His wonderful grace? I ask you today, no one looking for a moment. If you say, Beth, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. Jesus were to come back today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know where I'm at. I don't even know. I have questions in my mind. But today I want to make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I don't want to wonder. I don't want to take another day that I reject the grace of God, that I try to be good enough to receive the grace of God. Today I want to receive His grace by faith. Is there anybody here right now that you would lift your hand and you'd say, Beth, I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. I need to give my heart fully and totally to Him. I've been kind of skirting the edges. I've kind of been halfway in and halfway out. But today I want to make a decision. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to surrender my life totally and fully to Him. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up and say, Beth, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Only now, just asking you to lift your hand if that's your prayer. If you're not where you need to be with the Lord, if you don't know where you'll spend eternity, then I'm talking to you right now. You say, Beth, I've kind of ride the fence. I haven't made that full and total decision. Then this is for you. Anybody here right now, before we go to the next step, you can lift your hand up and you can put it right back down. Is there anybody else here right now? Anybody here right now that you'd lift your hand and say, pray for me, Beth? And I want to ask this last question. You say, Beth, I love Him. And I feel kind of like that lady you talked about. I'm in church. I'm grateful for what He's done in my life. But the truth is, shame haunts my heart. Shame haunts my mind. I wonder, I think about it. I can't imagine how the Lord sees it. And today I'd just like to be free from that old heaviness of guilt and that old heaviness of shame. And today I want to be changed. I want to walk out of here a free man or woman in Jesus' name. If that's you, would you slip your hand up in this house? Thank you. I see your hands. Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hands. Anybody else? You'd say, Beth, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. I see your hands. Thank the Lord for you. Hallelujah. Or maybe you're here and you say, Beth, I've always considered myself just good enough. But today you've realized that your good enough isn't good enough. But it's got to be the grace of God in your life. You've got to recognize that He's the only way. Anybody else in here that you say, Beth, maybe you've not even pegged what the Lord's put on my heart, but I do need prayer. Would you just lift your hand up? Anybody else that you'd say, will you just pray for me today? I'm going to ask you on the count of three. I see a number of hands. Thank you for your honesty this morning. I know what time it is, and my goodness, it's still not late. Not at all. But I want to ask you in this place, if you raised your hand, or you say, Beth, I'd just like to pray. I'd just like to seek the Lord. Would you leave out of your seats? And as they begin to create an atmosphere for us to receive with this worship, I'm going to ask you to come and meet me in this altar on the count of three. Me, a pastor, but most importantly, the Savior. He's here this morning. One, two, three. Will you come right now? That's right. Just come out of your seats. Would you come right now and let's come to this altar? Hallelujah. Anybody else as they come? Anybody else that you want to come? These altars are open. Kurt's going to help me pray. Pastor and Miss Sarah's going to help me pray. Anybody else that you want to come? Anybody else? God is moving. God is moving in this place. There's a few more hands that was raised. I certainly will give you time. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to welcome you to this altar. I want to welcome you to this place of prayer. Anybody else? Would you come to the Lord's altar and let's seek the Lord? Then I want to ask you that are here, filled with the Holy Spirit, would you come in behind these and let's just begin to pray by faith. Let's just begin to pray believing. Anybody else you would like to come and just agree with them in prayer? We'd love for you to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Slip your hands up if you're comfortable doing so. You're welcome to sing with this worship team as we pray for these great people in faith believing.